Hi, we're live. I'm Laura Topper, and I'm here today with super guest, absolutely super duper guest, Reverend Dr. Trish Hall. I'm so excited to be here with you, Reverend Dr. Trish, to be talking on the show today. In fact, the show name, I changed the name last week from the Women of Power show to the Divine CEO show. So you are a new super guest on the Divine CEO show. Welcome here today.
I look forward to being one of your authors too.
Ah,
yeah, that would be great.
So good to be here with you. I have known you for a few years and have worked closely with you. And there are times when we've been doing all sorts of background work for spiritual community. And I really admire and love the way that you work. And you are a brilliant mind and woman, and I'm just excited for you to be here today to be sharing about you and your work in the world and your superpower and your values and your passion and your mission, and sharing that out for viewers that are here, whether watching live here now, welcome if you're here live, or at any point this will be available. So thank you for being here, Reverend Dr. Trish.
Well, thank you so much for having me. As we were just talking a bit before the show, it's interesting to have the opportunity to share things that I kind of assume, and that they're just how I show up in the world. And when asked about this superpower, I even commented to someone else, and they said, "Oh, your superpower is positivity." And I thought, "Oh, okay." And then I was doing a little journaling about it and came up with resilience. And
that is a superpower.
Yeah. I really think that looking at, okay, there's this that I do and that, but resilience is the superpower, because resilience says that what is what we're dealing with all the time. And circumstance in the world sometimes feel overwhelming. And where resilience comes into it is having the ability to look beyond the circumstance and pick it all up and start again. Whether it's starting a new venture, pulling the pieces together, it is the inside power. And when I was contemplating this, what I came up with is it's an interesting kind of acceptance. And the acceptance says, this is what is. My total belief that we are always at choice is, instead of acceptance that goes into surrender and I'm the poor victim and, this is all that's happening and everything else. No, it's the kind of the extreme opposite of that. And that is, it's acceptance that this is what's being presented. And not from an airy-fairy sort of look at it, but from a creativity. And I'm totally into creativity. If the studio were not a mess, you'd be seeing my art studio. So I'm totally into creativity. But the kind of acceptance that I'm talking about is accept that this is what is, open to creativity about the choice for how I will be with what is, which then gives the power to be resilient. And so it's from that, sure, I can be resilient. I can experience great loss. I can have a terminal diagnosis that fortunately they were wrong, or what, these various things, and say, okay, I know there is something greater than this, and I can choose that that's greater rather than being held back by a limiting belief or taking on somebody else's story. That was a very long answer to a short question.
And that is a powerful answer with so many threads in there. And I think it's a big question, what is our superpower? Because I love it that you've journaled on it, because that can open up other ideas of ourselves when we journal on questions, can't it? We can go even deeper into, well, who am I? What am I? What really is my superpower? I mean, I would invite anybody that's watching right now, viewing this or listening to this on a podcast, to really journal on this. What is your superpower? Just as Reverend Dr. Trish has. And I love that you said it was positivity, and then there's another layer of that. It's resilience. And I'm interested because you are a peace, you're a peace shower. You're a peace way shower. And
years ago, it was called a peacenik. Years ago, it was called a peacenik.
A peacenik. I love it. You're a peacenik. And I'm interested, what spurred you initially, or is it something that has developed within you to really be an advocate for peace? Or is it something that, you know, you suddenly it was like, this is what I'm here for? Was it a slower brew?
It actually, I think, was neither of those evolved from it. And truth is, my parents were passionate lovers and also passionate fighters. And I think I became a peace advocate when I was trying to mediate between them of, hey, can't we just love? How about hugs? You know, all these things. And so I don't remember a time. And so I don't know if I came into the world to be that mediator, or if I became that mediator because of the world I arrived in, whichever, you know, and it's irrelevant. But what it is then if we do a bit of reverie through my life, there has always been a peace element. It's the thread that's absolutely consistent. I developed a company called The Training Source that taught interpersonal and organizational communication. And the undergirding of that is when people communicate from heart, even if they're in the business world, in fact, even more so in the business or government, did a lot of training. So when people are communicating effectively, they get to know one another. And when they get to know one another and their values and can start sharing values, then guess what? Voila, peace occurs. There's harmony. Okay. As Laura, you know, Dr. Laura, you know, I'm deeply involved in international work. Okay. Where it's possible to meet people in their situation, learn from and with them, and then assist them in communicating their needs in a way that generates reception rather than causing pushback of we need this, we need that. And so there again, the undergirding thread is when we are in at peace with one another, which we can't get to unless we learn from and with one another, then peace is the experience. Go ahead. You start.
I was feeling as if, peace is a language.
Yes.
To be learned, and it's an assumption to assume or to believe that we all have that skill set to speak peace, to be peace. It's a learning, isn't it? And to develop into that, the aspect of peace and to be it.
If you think about it, we learn our, quote, social skills. We learn our way of being in the world. And right now there are, you know, extreme illustrations of different ones. Okay. We learn that early on, like the little kid that wanted everybody to be happy. Okay. So if, since it is learned, then for a tremendous part of the population, what they have learned has to be unlearned in order to open them up and trust that they can have a communication with someone, they can be in conversation with someone else, because their conditioning says that's dangerous. And so in coming to being able to have conversations that are peace generating, we have to unlearn and release the fears of the of the big black specter out there, that, you know, the villain is coming for us, or the threat, or whatever. And some of those learned things are absolutely essential to survival.
Yes.
That there are circumstances, and you can just open the newspaper, there are circumstances in which that kind of survival strategy is essential to life. And there's something greater. And there's the possibility of having a different relationship with other people. And there's the possibility of actually coming together and working together to cause peace, which birthed Way to Peace, which is a small philanthropic foundation, educational and philanthropic foundation.
I'd like to show your website and put it up here for people
to see
it. And I have the link here. And because when you say small, I say powerful. Exactly. Really powerful. And it's really interesting, isn't it, that peace can be learned in different levels, in different ways. So there's physical, there's the way we speak with each other, there's the way we speak with ourselves, finding that inner peace and doing the work on ourselves to get to that place where we can dissolve the beliefs that are keeping us held back from being at one with ourselves and others. And would you say that any particular part of that process is more vital than another?
They are totally inextricably intertwined. And part of teaching peace as a practice and as a way of life is to come to it's to find out where the person is. Peace conversations begin with listening, not talking. They begin with heart opening to someone else, to sense, not just hear, but hear with our hearts, how it is to be them. Because until we learn how it is to be someone else, and this can, you know, some people say, oh, well, that's because you work internationally. No, this can be a family member.
Yes.
This, because we each function in our own little world. And so until we are willing to listen and hear where somebody really is, then we can move forward with our learning together. And because so many people have been conditioned to the idea of other, that we, they, a constant separation. And one of my driving passions is oneness. We are all, in my understanding, and I stand by my understanding, I sit by it too. Anyway, that there's one creator that has sprung forth as it all. that we are not some sort of creation that was built by a creator, but instead that that creator has sprung forth as all of what is. So we are each of it. And so if we come into conversation with an assumption, of course, that you and I are one, that you and I have the same essence, and it may be buried, it may have taken, you know, it may have had a whole lot of hard knocks. And if I am willing to be present with you, and by the way, we teach that anyway, about presencing, when I'm willing to be with you in where, in whatever and wherever you are, then I can make, I can create an environment in which you can feel safe. And when you have that experience, then we can learn together. And it's always a together because it's always new. There never has been a cookie cutter that could possibly really reach within us. So
do you believe, Reverend Dr. Trish, that the teachings that I live by, that you live by, New Thought, religious science teachings that are so powerful? And as a minister, ministering these teachings in the world, do you believe that these teachings have a kind of a supercharged kind of edge to them? That really have the ability or the potential to kind of exponentially expand peace, the idea of peace, humanity.
Oh, definitely, because our philosophy, our basic teaching is the honoring. And by the way, Way to Peace, the instruction, and everyone is invited to join it, and that is be kind and respectful no matter what. And when we are being kind and respectful no matter what, it's very interesting that people will have very different reactions to that statement. And they either totally say yes, or they deny that it's even remotely possible. And we're still one with the one that says yes and the one that says no way.
Right.
And so it's up to each of us to be kind and respectful, regardless of the reaction, regardless of how somebody is being. Because we don't have to respect them as in salam or honoring or saying, hey, you're great and wonderful. Now, respecting that they too are an individuation of that one creator. And so the respect level is that I will not treat anyone in a way I would not be treated. It's good old golden rule stuff.
Yes, it is.
And so that's a place to start. And kindness isn't about the person that you're being kind to. Kindness is about you.
Yes.
Are you a kind, you know, are you kind?
It's a spiritual practice.
Absolutely. It's a spiritual practice. And then back to your question about with the philosophy, the New Thought philosophy, specifically Science of Mind, that we happen to both be grounded in. Science of Mind, the core tenet is oneness. And that we teach skills and that are based in principle. The practices are, our philosophy is totally practical. It's not an only on this occasion or on this occasion we behave in a certain way. No, if we are really living our spiritual practice, it's a 24/7.
Totally.
It's how we show up in the world. And when we come down to honoring one another as expressions of the divine, then instantly there is a thread of peace being built. There's a softness to it. There's a harmony to it. And you're a musician, and so you love harmonies.
Oh, yeah. And I'm waiting for you to just have a little tinkle on your piano back there. So I'm interested, Reverend Dr. Trish, I'm interested in your peace and your life and spirituality and how you, what is the kind of the motive, the motivation for you to be the spiritual teacher, the leader that you are, to be the artist that you are, to travel the world? I mean, I see you online and on Facebook sharing your travels and your adventures, and I every time I see you going somewhere and doing something, I feel your embodiment of that place. You embody the place, the culture, the people, the atmosphere. I just love watching your explorations. What is it about that and being a global advocate that you are? What beats your drum to say, right, I'm getting up today and I'm doing this?
It's interesting. It flipped me back to a story from many years ago when I was I had a student, and when I have a gift. Let's jump, and then I'll come back to the student. Okay, I have a gift, so I can see someone's potential when they can't see it themselves. I see that divine spark within people that may not even know there's a spark, much less it being divine. And so because I can see it, I call it forth. I call, I ask, I invite that person to step into their magnificence. Now the sidebar back to the student. I had a student who I, to this day, I know she, and she has gone on, this was many years ago, and shown, which was beautiful. But at the time, I could see this magnificent potential. And her interpretation of it was, "You just demand too much of me." Because she was stuck in a self view,
yes,
that said, "I'm small, I'm inadequate, I'm unable, that's too much." All these stories that were running around in her. Okay. So when I invited her to step out of those limiting beliefs and step into her magnificence, frankly, it scared the daylights out of her. I have learned to be a little gentler since. She was a great teacher. And, yes. But my ability to see that says that whether I am traveling in Africa, living in someone's home in Western rural Africa with the limits, I know that person's magnificence.
Yes.
And so whether it's there or anywhere else on the planet, when I get to be with them, it's so exciting. It is so absolutely, I'm floating. It's amazing. I have also proven that I have an energy span that is surprising. I mean, I hiked, in one of the locations, we walked down to a stream and back up, and I looked at this this thing up the mountain. And I thought, how did I possibly get myself in this situation where I'm down here at the bottom of this hill? Because going down was quite easy.
You've got to get up again.
Yeah, we had to come back out of that, out of the stream, above the stream, above the springs. And when I am in that God space, when I am in that celebration of everyone's magnificence, it's amazing. I came back up out of that stream area and wasn't even breathing hard at the top. And I went, you know, kind of congratulated myself. But it's that I ride on God energy when I get to be with people like that.
Yes. And you're it's catching. You know, your light is catching.
I hope so. I hope I'm contagious.
So even if we can't see it at that particular moment for ourselves, to have somebody say, I see you, I feel you, I recognize you, even if we don't want to hear it because it feels scary, it's major, because it allows us to see, well, there is a possibility, even if it's a year down the line or 5 years or a week or a day, that someone else can see that in me.
The good news about the student is she went on and embodied it, but it took darn near 10 years before she really started believing that that was the truth. And there's a Rumi quote that I really love, why do you stay in prison when the door is wide open? And we reside in the prisons of our own building.
Yes.
And that ability, that special gift that I have about being able to see, I can see that the door is open and I can see your magnificence. I can feel it even more specifically than seeing it. And so I'm here to assure you, the door which you probably, you know, you might believe is closed, that it is open and it is inviting you to come through and be your radiant self.
And that can be intimidating also, can't it? Maybe it has an edge of being intimidating to be our, I made a video about this the other day, actually, about being yourself, because there is a lot of that phrase is used a lot, isn't it? Be yourself. Be just be you. It's like, oh my God, that's pressuring as well.
Oh, tremendously. So, and I mean, and I came through a long, long period of unlearning all those beliefs about myself. I have a reading disability, and so I was labeled as stupid. It wasn't recognized as a reading disability at the time. I'm dyslexic. And all it was this one can't read, so she's stupid. And so I came through a whole lot of unlearning. And so I can sense what it's like and to be on that other side. I remember when I went to a workshop, and this has got to be eons ago, and they said, just be authentic. And I thought, what does that word mean?
What does it mean? Yes.
I'm being as authentically me as, you know, my understanding. Okay, authentic is to be what you are. Okay. I was being as authentic as I knew how to be.
Yes.
And they kept telling me I wasn't, and I got real defensive. Well, this is the only me I know.
It can be quite a provoking statement if, you know, what does that mean? I feel like I'm being authentic in this moment. For me, sometimes I feel, okay, I can drop the ego and I can come back to, well, the God authentic, the higher self of me, rather than me thinking or believing that I have to be something else, or I have to be in a competition with other people doing this, doing that, you know, creating that.
Comes
back to, I suppose, well, what is success? The definition of every, we have this wonky definition of success. And
it'd be too long for this conversation, but I like to sort it by our humanity and our divinity rather than bringing in the idea of ego, because ego is an essential part of a human personality.
Yes.
And so, but what had me totally confused when they kept pushing on me about not being authentic was my understanding of being authentic was being kind and compassionate and serving, even to serving when I, you know, didn't have balance in my life. And so I was confused, totally confused by their push on be authentic, because I thought if I was kind and caring and did all this stuff, and you know, it was a do thing. And what they were pushing me for, it was sort of ironic. And when it has shown up in various things, where like the student, okay, what they were pushing for was not my passion for peace or my compassionate soul or my loving heart and all of that. They, as it turned out, and it took a lot of scraping away of other things, they were asking me to step into my power. And when they finally, you know, when we finally got to a place where I understood that was what they were asking, it was terrifying. Because my kindness and that could be done all the time, everywhere, and be invisible. Yeah. And what they were calling me to, kind of like me calling the student, what they were calling me to was, you are greater than what you believe right now. And that took a while to sink in. It was fabulously planted seeds, and they had to take their own perfect time to germinate. And the ultimate gift was that then I could support others in stepping into their power, into their magnificence. So,
and I think for me, the thread of what you're sharing here is that we can't fully see ourselves. We can't see the beauty, the potential, the possibilities, the whole full technicolor spectrum of who we be. And very often it takes another to mirror that back to us and to have the boldness and the audacity to actually call us out and say, hey, you have this, you can do this. And then it's ours to own that or not, work on it or not, do something with it or not. Mm-hmm. But it does, it takes another, doesn't it? To bring that to our awareness often.
Yeah. So much so. And that kind of brings us back around to our science of mind teaching, to our new thought philosophy.
Sure.
It brings us back to why Way to Peace exists. And in Way to Peace, we teach companioning and presencing and these, what some people might think are soft skills or sissy soft kind of stuff. And no, gentleness is the ultimate power. When we are truly gentle, then we empower not just the other person, but we empower ourselves. And when we recognize that each of us is a divine being. I'm kind of a word nut. I write, but I am kind of a word nut. And that is, a lot of people think prepositions don't matter. Prepositions matter a whole lot. And so, for instance, we are expressions of the divine. We are not created by the divine. We are not it, you know, whatever. We are actually, in my understanding, which of course is what we get to feature this day. Okay. We are made of, as Dr. Holmes said it, made of God's stuff. And from a more scientific kind of look at it, is our version of a creation story. And that is that a thinking consciousness sprung forth of itself, which, by the way, explains the Big Bang. But anyway, it sprung forth of itself into and as all creation. So as it sprung forth, then we are of it. We are made of it, as is all creation, the whole shebang, the parts we like and the parts we don't. Anyway, but it's all of Creator. And that little two-letter preposition is critical, because if a belief says the Creator built me or made me or, you know, somehow, okay, there's the possibility of separation. There's actually the language of separation. And that sense of separation is extremely powerful.
Yes.
Dictators, nasty people throughout the ages have manipulated the fear of separation in people throughout the ages. There was an enormous study that began, good grief, anyway, probably back in the 60s when a lot of research was going on, anyway, about what is the ultimate core fear that we all share. And they went down through all kinds of different iterations and analysis and everything else. And what they finally came to, and the study has gone on so that it's one of those that refreshes its data. Same thing's true. Okay, core fear that we all share, separation. So if a group shuns you, it's separation. If a club says you're not good enough, separation. If someone beloved to you passes away, separation, divorce, being fired, all these others that are all involved in bereavement, which I've been a bereavement counselor for more than 30 years. Okay. So, and there, see this thread of peace in it?
Yes.
That thread of peace is always in there.
As you're saying that piece about separation, it's you know, as we seed it, so it is. As we sow our seeds, so they flourish. And that would make sense that it is separation as the number one fear.
Yeah.
Because the world is in a state of separation in so many people's minds at the moment.
Yeah.
And with the way we are treating ourselves and each other and the wars and the potential of wars and all of it, it's all of it is separation.
Yeah. There's an interesting little tweak on that. And that is when someone is critical of their own physicality, you know, like whether it's too skinny or whatever. When someone is critical, what they have done is they've separated from themselves.
Yes.
That's another level of this insidious thing about separation. And one of the things in our Centers for Spiritual Living and other New Thought communities is we focus on unity honoring that there is never uniformity. We are each unique, totally special, not special as in precious, but special as in how we show up. And so we do our absolute utmost to let people know that they are included, they are welcome, that their uniqueness is celebrated instead of isolated.
Yes. And this is the work, isn't it? Or this is the agenda, I believe, for now, as we from now on, as we continue.
Yeah.
This is the work for each of us, whether we study it or whether we teach it or whether we simply have a meditation practice. It doesn't mean we have to be, you know, somebody that's having a podcast or teaching it, or it's to take that responsibility for ourselves and then to be this as the ripple for our families and communities and for everybody, every being on the planet, because it's a powerful, invisible ripple that can change something so dynamically.
Years and years and years ago, I got a t-shirt, and by the way, I still have it, but the fabric is so thin, it's sort of delicate at this point in its age. And all it says is, world peace begins with me.
That's it.
Yeah. And so I love what you were saying about, you know, it's our agenda. It is, there's the song about, if not me, if not now, when, if not me, who? Yeah. And the answer, or if you go back to the Bible quote about, am I my brother's keeper? You darn know it. Yes, we are inextricably intertwined with one another. So we are, it is the charge that each of us has been given to connect, to support, to nurture, to uplift, so that everyone can discover their magnificence, can discover the possibility that they are, as Deepak Chopra said, pure potentiality. And I love that. It isn't just pure potential. It's pure potentiality. It's bigger than just a potential.
Yes.
And so I believe that we are each called to support one another in that discovery. And
I'm so grateful that you have this calling in your heart, Reverend Dr. Trish, and that you do wake up in the morning with this drumbeat of, this is what's mine right now, this is what I'm doing, and this is what I love doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know the immensity of your work and the power of what you're doing in so many different ways, from your, you know, with Center for Spiritual Living and your community, the community that you bring together, hold space for, and your way to peace and your travels. It's exciting. I'm excited by what you, and inspired by what you are doing and the potentiality that you're mirroring for me and for others.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yes. Yeah,
that is so sweet of you. And a fun friend of mine said, come on out and play with God with me.
I love that. Because it brings it to a childlike, fun, you know, a place of wonder.
Yeah. Insatiable curiosity. That's me.
Creativity.
And so come on out and play with God with me.
And maybe one day you'll come back. Not maybe, you'll come back with your background of your studio behind you, and we can see your artwork. And
yeah, I'll put away.
All of the amazing art that you're creating, which is also beautiful.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
So, Reverend Dr. Trish, I'm going to invite you to share a few words to the viewers, for the viewers, something for somebody that might be feeling, yes, I want to play with God, and can I really? Do I really have that potentiality? I'm putting you on the big screen, taking myself out.
Oh my. I'm all alone here. I like the sisterhood with you. That will take just a moment. I invite each and every one to take a moment and think of I'm going to change that direction. Thank you, Laura. Okay. Instead, I'm going to give you a quick little mantra, and then I'm going to give you a charge. And the little mantra is, spirit in me, as me, is me. And I invite everybody to write it on a sticky, use your fingers to do it. Spirit in me, as me, is me. And repeat it. And what you're doing is you're awakening yourself to the marvel of what you are. You are an individuation of spirit. Okay, now the next piece is a practice that I love to do, and that I call it God spotting. And it doesn't matter whether you call it God spotting or you have a different word for the creator. I invite you to spend the rest of today and beyond, whenever you happen to be watching this, okay, making a point of spotting every expression of the divine that you see. And at first, you may have, you know, you may say, hey, I've got to wait for a rainbow or whatever. And I want you to switch and see a leaf and know that that leaf is an expression of the divine. And then whether you live in an area like we do that has lots of squirrels and chipmunks and other wonderful expressions of the divine on four legs, then see spirit in expression as them. And then every human that you encounter, whether it is the person who is down and out and maybe sleeping on the street, maybe it's the high-powered executive who seems quite self-absorbed, or the Catholic nun that's walking down the street, I invite you to see them all as individuations of the divine. And so start keeping conscious awareness of all the places and all the opportunities that you have to see the divine. And the final step in this is a practice that's been used a long, long time. And that is, when you get home, step in front of a mirror, whether it's a full length or the powder room mirror in your bathroom, and start at the top of your head and move down across your forehead and look into your eyes and examine your nose and note the shape of your mouth and the color of your skin. All of these attributes, all of these things are your individual expression of the divine. The divine is showing up as you. And the piece of this that's most important is to utter out loud by yourself, I love you. I love that spirit is expressing as you. You and I are that one. We are spirit in expression. And so love yourself into being and revealing your most powerful, radiant, awesome, soft, gentle, strong, all of the different attributes. You are all of that and more than you may be able to see today, more than you may be able to feel today. And just do it as a regular daily practice until you are so in love with that, that is the divine as you, that then you are fully capable of loving the world and all of its inhabitants.
Oh, you heard it here first. On the Divine CEO Show, Reverend Dr. Trish Hall. That was so powerful. I was sitting here listening, taking all of this in. And it may feel on some level, if someone is listening to this, oh yes, okay, I can do that. Actually, each of those steps, each of them individually is a powerful step to take, I believe, in making a change and going to that, the secret place of the Most High within, that change from within that no one else can do for us. And mm-hmm. I'm so grateful that you shared all of this today, Dr. Trish, and that you shared also that, you know, what you shared for your students those years ago, you're sharing the same message here for us here today. Thank you. Thank what a blessing.
You. Thank you. What a blessing to be, you know, big hugs. Thank you for having me on this. This is fabulous.
It's been amazing. And we will do it again. And we'll, I know Spirit will kind of give us absolutely opportunity to come back together again and share again here. It's an ongoing. This show is ongoing. So there's an open invitation for you, Reverend Dr. Trish. I didn't even read out your bio. I don't think I needed to. You are your bio. But you can reach out to Dr. Trish if you want to through her website, waytopeace.org. And I don't know if you're on Facebook. I think, is this the best way for people to connect with you?
They can also reach out to me through cslmetro.org.
Okay, I'm putting that on here, making a banner for you.
That's the other one.
There we are.
Yeah. I am on Facebook. I'm not terribly good at it. I'm learning.
Okay, you're learning.
I'm definitely learning.
For a definite contact, then either cslmetro.org or Way to Peace. Have a look at the Way to Peace website. There's lots of great information on there, and also about your infinity groups, the information about that too, which we didn't talk about. Maybe another time we can share on that.
Oh, that's a fun one that we can get people literally all around the world involved in.
Yes. And
So yes, there are lots of other things that we could talk about.
Definitely. Good. Thank you for being here. Oh, we have a comment. Oh, Josephine. Good to be here with you, Josephine. And great that you're connecting in with the show today. Welcome here. I think you're in Kenya. Yes. So welcome, Josephine from Kenya.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes, it's good.
Yes, yes.
And of course, the magazine Divine CEO is, the link is down below in the post, for if you are watching and you'd like to sign up and subscribe to the magazine, you can. It's free. It's here. There are many great wisdom writers sharing their thoughts and articles about personal spiritual understanding, development, growth, and expansion. So tune in to download it, and you'll see there's more than enough content to keep you busy for a month.
Oh, it's fabulous. It is absolutely fabulous. So thank you for creating it for us.
It's a voice. Uh-huh. It's going out. So And thank you again, Reverend Dr. Trish Hall, for being here, for being the light that you are, and for sharing today on the Divine CEO Show.
Thank you.
And to the viewers, thank you for being here. We'll be back next week with another super powered, empowered guest. And that's it for now. Thank you, Josephine.